Chapter 40. It wasn't like stepping. With a step, you transition from one world into the next, a world more or less identical, save for such details as civilizations and extinction events, like stepping between successive frames of a movie, and then you stepped again into another frame, and then another. This wasn't like that. This was a plummet. It was more like traveling through soft places, through which Joshua Valiente had passed too many times with Sally Lindsay. It had been a long-earth theorist called Melanier, an academic rival of Sally's father, Willis Lindsay, who had first posited the idea of soft places purely on theoretical grounds. Lindsay pictured the long earth as a necklace strung with the blue pearls that were whole alternate worlds. Simple stepping allowed you to move along the chain from one pearl to the next. But Claude Melanier hypothesized that the necklace might get tangled up in some higher-dimensional jewelry box, with strands overlaying strands. And he argued that it might be possible to break through into an adjoining strand, and thereby travel in one jump much further through the long earth than any simple step would take you. You could even move geographically across the long earths using soft places, unlike regular stepping. It was said that the most gifted steppers among the next could manufacture their own soft place routes. Joshua Valiente thought of soft places as being the long earth's equivalent of wormholes, like in Contact, and they were about as pleasant to fall through. This was something like a soft place, but a soft place with greased walls. It made a kind of sense. Trolls were stronger physically than humans, and they'd spent a couple of million years out here busily adapting to the strange conditions of the long earth. Of course, their stepping, their soft place tunneling, was going to be a tougher ordeal than anything a mere human would choose to face. But it was galling for Joshua, who had been the poster boy of stepping since he was 13 years old. Now, maybe, he knew how it felt to be a phobic, like his brother-in-law, poor Rod Green, who had been made physically ill by stepping, even if he was sedated and carried over on a stretcher. Always something new to learn about the long earth, it seemed. Even about the trolls. And in a blur, with the troll's strong hand at his neck, the only firm reality, he thought he could see Sally Lindsay's face, hear her mocking voice. "Not so tough now, are you, Valiente? This is the reality of stepping. Like what it really feels to be a fish out of water." "Leave me alone, Sally."
"Who?"
Suddenly he became aware that he was no longer being held up by Sancho. He was standing, supported by his crutches, but he was surrounded by milky, glaring emptiness. It might have been one of the whiteout blizzards he'd been caught in during the datum's long volcanic winter, or even another cue ball joker. But the temperature was neutral, and he felt soft moisture gathering on his face. Under his feet, too, was the most featureless of surfaces, like a pale white sand. But then he saw what looked like a worm cast, just to one side of the dangling boot of his damaged leg. Not a cue ball, then. He looked up at the troll, who loomed black against the white mist.
"Where the hell are we, Sancho?"
"Who?"
"Damn it."
He fished the troll call out of his jacket pocket and tried again.
"Are we there yet?"
"Beach,"
the troll said simply.
"Huh?"
Almost comically, Sancho cupped his hand to one hairy ear. And now straining, Joshua could just make out the rush of a breaking wave. He turned to look that way. He was in a mist, a sea fog maybe, close, moist. But the mist was lifting now, and he could see a littoral, strewn with what looked convincingly like seaweed, and a greyish ocean on which languid waves rolled, breaking almost elegantly at the shore with a rush of broken shells. The horizon was still entirely hidden. Joshua, his head spinning from his cosmic ride, was struck by the mundanity of it.
"So where, Sancho? What beach?"
Sancho shrugged.
"Beach."
Joshua laughed softly. He was already tiring of standing, so he let himself slide down his crutches to the sand, splaying his bad leg before him, and gazed out as more of that calm sea was revealed to him.
"Who cares what beach, right?" Joshua, you need to think like a troll. A beach is a beach, is all one beach, spanning the long earth, and a good place to feed. Sancho tapped him on the shoulder.
Climb.
Climb? Climb what? Where?
Tree.
The troll pointed inland and started to march that way. Tree? Joshua stood again with difficulty and turned away from the sea. The fog was lifting rapidly. Well, it must be morning here, as it was on the world they'd come from, as it was presumably on all the worlds of the long earth. And in the morning light, the sea mist burned off to reveal, as he looked inland, above the beach, structures, like towers. Big ones, each one a central pillar with what looked like buttresses splayed on the ground at its base and draped in mist above. A whole array of them, still no more than silhouettes against the pearly fog. Buildings? No, they looked too organic for that. In fact, even those splayed buttresses looked like tremendous crabs. He saw the hunched shoulders of the troll disappearing into the mist as he tramped steadily up the beach towards one of the pillars. Joshua hastened to follow, fumbling with his crutches. The mist lifted further, and Joshua had a sudden shift of perspective. He was looking at a tree, a big one, with a fat, solid trunk and a heavy, massive root system that had fooled him into thinking of a crouching beast, a crab, and branches and a canopy still out of sight in the rising mist above his head. A big tree, but just a tree, with more of the same beyond, he saw, as slim silhouettes congealed out of the mist. Some kind of sparse forest, then, towards which Sancho was leading him at a ground-consuming marching pace. A forest is a forest, Joshua muttered as he pivoted himself forward on his crutches over and over. Like a beach is a beach, except here we are. Why this forest? Why these trees? Perhaps there would be answers when they reached the forest itself. But they were still on the damn beach. Joshua's crutches were still sinking annoyingly in the soft sand, his bad leg aching with every move, his armpits sore and chafed already from the crutches. And those trees looked just as far away as ever, despite the troll's steady march towards them. What the hell is this? Am I on a treadmill? Ah, quit complaining. Joshua got his head down, gritted his teeth, and endured. I'm coming, Rod. The going got a little easier higher up the beach, where there were scraps of dune grass to bind the surface. That gave way to a grassy, sandy sward, and then rows of dunes that rippled gently across the landscape. Gently, that is, unless, like Joshua, you were trying to walk through them on one leg up a sandy hill and down into a grassy hollow over and over. But Joshua moved as fast as he dared, not risking a fall, trying to keep Sancho in sight in the still, misty air. The dunes gave way to a plain, a grassy scrub dotted with low bushes. The fog was still thick enough to obscure the horizon, and, Joshua realized with a renewed shock, those big trees themselves were still far enough away for their trunks and roots to be greyed by the lingering ground mist, the fog above still cloaking the branches and canopy. He stopped thinking, and just concentrated on one step after the next, one crutch pivot after another, following the back of the receding troll. But unease prickled. If he'd been able to make out those root masses from the beach, beyond the bank of dunes, how the hell big must those trees be? He didn't realize how big they were, in fact, until at last he reached the base of the trunk of the nearest tree, and he found himself walking into the root system. Not around it or over it, into it, like an ant approaching an oak tree. Sculptures of wood lifted out of a mulch-strewn ground around him, soon rising up over his head. And these were just the roots. If he hadn't seen it from further away, from this close, Joshua would never have recognized this enormous structure as a tree at all. And yet there was Sancho still fearlessly leading the way into the root mass, even though the troll's own mighty bulk was dwarfed by the giant formations all around him. Joshua felt diminished, and he struggled to keep up. And he was struck by how quiet it was. Not a bird's call to be heard. A At last, the troll stopped before a wall of wood that rose up sheer from the ground. Fallen branches littered the earth at its foot, branches that looked hefty enough to serve as tree trunks in most forests Joshua had visited. Even Sancho was panting now, but he thumped at the wall with one big fist.
"Tree," he said.
"Well, I can see that." Joshua let himself slump to the ground and looked up. The trunk was so vast, it showed no obvious curvature, not from this close too. It was a wall that stretched to left and right as far as he could see, and up into the steadily rising bank of mist. At first glance, the surface, a blackish bark, had seemed smooth, but now he saw crevices and flaws. Joshua gulped water from a flask and grabbed the troll call. "Three questions, Sancho."
"Who?"
"Why the hell did we have to walk all this way from the beach? Couldn't your damn seven-league boot stepping bring us closer?" Sancho just shrugged. "Okay, second, why are we here?" In answer, Sancho started digging in the mulch at the foot of the trunk wall. He threw aside what looked like huge dead leaves to Joshua, until he perceived that these were only fragments of leaves, shreds of much bigger structures. Now one of those immense fallen branches was exposed in the mulch. Without hesitating, with one hand, Sancho got hold of a thick splinter at the branch's broken end, and with a dismissive gesture, flicked the branch into the air, a hefty timber the size of a reasonable tree trunk cartwheeling away, falling slowly, languidly, before coming to rest with a slow-motion clatter some yards away. Joshua just stared. "Wow! I know trolls are strong, but this is ridiculous." Curious, he got to his feet and hobbled over to the fallen branch. Here was the splinter that Sancho had grabbed hold of, a jagged dagger of torn wood. Experimentally, leaning on his crutches, Joshua got hold of the splinter and pulled. And the whole branch lifted up off the ground, a pillar of wood 20 feet long at least. It wasn't quite without weight, but it felt like a papier-mâché mock-up of a tree trunk rather than the real thing. "Wow," Joshua said again. "If I had two working legs, I could send this thing spinning. Hey, Sancho, what is this stuff?"
"Reaching wood,"
was all Sancho would say, as he rummaged through the leaf litter, working his way towards the big trunk wall. "Reaching wood, but
who?"
With that triumphant call, Sancho at last produced something from the dirt. A cylinder, Dayglow Scarlet. Joshua's heart skipped a beat. It was Rod's flare gun. And, Joshua saw, it was sticky with blood. He wondered how Sancho had known to look just here. Maybe he was guided by scent, or something in the long call. It didn't matter. "Okay, I get it. This is where the singer beast brought him. What do we do now?" The troll looked up at the trunk wall and grinned.
"Climb."